boss.
The siren's gone, like the tiger of old. The storm and the gold, with the tiger.
And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
And I must say, Thursday night was a reminder of something that I think I'd kind of forgotten.
Hmm?
The AFL is not like a Marvel movie. The good guys don't always win. And unfortunately, I loved every second of it. I think for the past 6 months, I've been living in this comfortably insulated Richmond bubble, and it's just always worked out. The good guys have triumphed. Dusty has burst through the pack at just the right moment. Jack's lifted himself. Lambert and Brandon Ellis have worked themselves into the ground, and it's just all worked out. Until it didn't. And yeah, I'm a little sad.
I agree, and I mean, arguably, you could argue that the last Marvel movie was the 2017 season where the good guys won, and where it in the end of the first act of the 2018 movie, where we're starting to create some dramatic tension for the eventual triumph where the good guy win the game. It's no fun if the good guys win in every bit of the movie. To stretch the metaphor.
Really?
I mean, I don't know. Look,
I'd like to test that out.
I know exactly how you feel, and, you know, emotionally we both knew, I mean, not emotionally, logically we both knew we were going to lose again, but...
Yeah, we were underdogs.
Yeah, but, you know, we're only mild underdogs, and I was quietly confident, and when...
Yeah, how did you feel at three-quarter time?
I was very confident, particularly when they had two players injured, and one of whom was a very good player. Like I actually thought we were going to storm home. Mm. And
yeah, me too.
When we and we did that a lot last year. Like I was having flashbacks actually to the Melbourne game.
The third act with all the CGI when the good guys win, exactly.
Yeah, no, I sort of wasn't expecting us to set, it's not a record for our worst contested possession differential ever. I think it's 2011, in Collingwood, we had a worst contested possession. But the analogy I put it to, and just one part of the game, and you might have forgotten, Nick, that, I mean, it was still close.
I've already blanked out large parts of the game.
I mean, we'll talk about them individually later, but Rance and Asprey had two of the worst games I can remember them playing.
I know.
And there was a moment when I tweeted this, Nick, and the analogy to me is First Sea Lord Beatty in the Battle of Jutland in World War One. So he was the British commander of the British fleet. And Britain at that point had essentially had 2.5 centuries of dominance of the sea where they might lose minor battles, but they always won the big ones. And they had utter confidence in their ships and their training, and that when forced to conflict with another large force, that they would triumph. And in the Battle of Jutland, several of BT's most prized battle cruisers blew up during the battle, and this was very confusing to them because they were considered some of the pride of the fleet. And there's a famous quote where he said, "There seems to be something wrong with our bloody ships today." And I felt that way with our key position players. There seems to be something wrong with our key position players. Cause, they were, I mean, as has been pointed out on Twitter, Rance's second half actually meant he was one of our few players who actually got a bit of the football, but he was losing one out contest.
Made the AFL team of the week, which.
Bizarre. He was losing.
I thought it was a bit much.
He was getting ragdolled in the first half, and Asprey did that horrendous. Had a mediocre game and made a horrendous turnover in the last quarter. And these are guys that, you know,
we take them for granted.
We assumed that they were invulnerable, and they're vulnerable. And it was just it was a very flat feeling. And the worst thing about it was almost like losing before a bye. Because
such a long break. It's a really long break, yeah.
It was a sour taste, and it's a sour taste that's lingered. And, you know, the stats weren't good. Like, the Adelaide had 12 of the top 13 possession getters in the game. And if we hadn't lost to them in an almost identical fashion last year, it'd even be more worrying. But yeah, it was a disappointing loss, and it was also crap that it's been such a big break for our next game.
I know. Look, it is frustrating. We said it on the preview podcast for last week. We said it in the preview before the grand final. Yes, they're a really good attacking team. They were the league's best attacking team, and they were an elite pressure team. And, yeah, Adelaide Oval really suits them. All of those things I thought exactly came true, that I thought we were quicker than them, and it didn't really matter so much in a much more confined space. They were able to get some pretty clean ball to their forwards. I think we had a few guys who were a bit off. It was just frustrating.
A few guys. I think there's literally one guy on the team who played to his level. I'm prepared to add to them, but I mean, when I look down the stat list of good news stories, it's basically Dusty was amazing.
Dusty was awesome. Yep.
But like, literally, who else wasn't off? I'm just looking at the list now. I'm trying to make up my mind. Was it
Caddy was good, other than getting himself suspended.
But even he was only 17, and getting himself suspended—that's a
3 goals, 6 inside 50s.
Yeah, that's true. 3 goals. Sorry, I forgot. I was looking.
Take that every week.
It's the sort of the I've been focused on the raw possession numbers, because we're currently 18th in the AFL. We're not getting the pill enough, and sort of that's a very if you just purely by that measure, which is a reductionist way to look at football, but purely by that measure, only Nank was okay, and actually we won the clearances. Partly that was just extraordinary. I mean, it's sort of the battle within a battle. Okay, we got done on the day, and the contested possession figures were awful, but they still haven't worked out what to do when Nanker's resting. Like, Jacobs was rucking awfully when he was rucking against little guys. Like, he was winning the taps, but he was putting it to dumb places, and they gave up a goal when they blocked Shai Bolton when he was rucking. Like,
I know.
How have they not worked this out yet? Like, that was really shocking to me, and yet, you know, they worked some other things out. But,
I mean, sure, the Shai Bolton rucking, they've only had a week of tape on that, but it was a consistent thing from last week.
Yeah, and, you know, they've played a game against us when we haven't played. You know, they know that someone other than the ruckman's going to be going up in our forward 50. Like, we've been doing this for a long time now. I think they would have worked that one out. Maybe Jaden Short was okay.
Yeah, look, it's funny. It's unusual for. I swear they've had a lot more disposals, and so, you know, normally a really lopsided tackle count is a sign that, you know, your pressure's right up. But yeah, in this case, it was mostly that we were chasing tail. That was quite depressing.
Yeah, actually, but going back to Short, you know, Eddie didn't have a great game, Eddie Betts, and Short had the match up for at least part of the time. So, you know, and they did have considerably more inside 50, so but you have to say.
One free kick ratio had its moments too.
Yeah, that's frustrating. And that does count towards the contested possession count. But, yeah, that's life at the Adelaide Oval.
Inexplicable that the same thing is a surprise every time in terms of home ground advantage.
It is. It's not systemically as big as it is for the West Coast Eagles. For some reason, the West Coast Eagles get more than Fremantle. Anyway, we digress. Anyone else's game individually stand out to you?
For good reasons?
Yeah, I was actually, like, I literally, that is it of the positive. All I have is sort of slightly mild negatives and big negatives, but is there anyone else who stood out in a positive way?
I thought Shane Edwards could hold his head reasonably high. Basher could have been worse for his first game back after no preseason. Yeah. No, it wasn't good. Wasn't a good day.
Also, I think I had zero tackles or one. But I know he doesn't play a high contact position, but I think he lacked, let's put it this way, he lacked the same influence on the contest that he had last time he played Adelaide.
Oh, he had so many friends in that regard.
Yeah. Don't forget, he almost, you know, he was a hipster's choice for Norm Smith medalist.
Yeah, well, he was the coach's choice for Norm Smith medalist as well. Yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah.
Oh God, he had 7 turnovers.
Yeah. So you could just go down a list, like a lot of guys who, like I said, were not getting the pill enough, and we haven't been getting it for a while. But you can go look, like, if you wanted to find scapegoats, like, there's a lot of them. A lot of people have been picking on the new additions to the team, and we'll come to them. But, you know, Lambert and Grigg, they're right off in their possession count. Some of the Camden McIntosh, I think, had 9 possessions.
Grigg played a bit of time forward, because it was... Actually, one matchup I thought was very interesting was Talia versus Jack, and I think Talia probably won it on points, but Jack worked really hard, and when... The problem being that he wasn't getting much going deep forward, so he'd sort of rotate through half forward, and actually I think he was our leading inside 50 guy. But then he'd sort of look up and, you know, who's he got to kick to? And yeah, we had a bit of Grigg one out, and Grigg has many strengths as a footballer, but one out contested marking isn't one of them.
Yeah. And, you know, last week I was jokingly patting myself on the back for predicting the Josh Caddy fan favourite move. Well, if I can do the exact opposite, last week we said maybe we just have to accept that, you know, we'd always thought that Jacob Townsend was going to have a regression at some thought time. And then we sort of contemplated the idea, well, maybe he's just this good. Well, we got the regression the week after we had that conversation. Oh,
no, that was frustrating.
So I also feel like we mozzed him. But yeah. That was a Jacob Townsend game that we all feared was there.
They did. I wonder if we're going to see this some more, that they played their negative key defender, who they just didn't care, instead of Lever, who's a key attacker for them, they played Hardigan, who's a nullifying player, and they're happy for the two to just cancel each other out, because, you know, Laird and others are the big ball winners in their back half. And yeah, it was a bit disappointing.
Yeah, well, Hardigan also got, so Hardigan was on Townsend.
Some of the night. They all rotate a lot.
Hardigan got 20 possessions and Townsend got 5, so that's like
I didn't quite realise it was that one sided. Yeah. It's pretty anonymous.
The
possession count was so one sided.
Yeah, but obviously it's oversimplifying, but if it's minus 15 on the net position, your direct opponent, it's grim.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, if you kick 3 goals, sort of, it doesn't matter to a large extent, but yeah, he was one of a number of disappointing forwards.
Castagna, after having supposedly his best ever game on AFL rankings, put in a shocker.
One tackle.
Yep, 7 touches. A guy who, I almost mentioned this last week, but I was slightly worried that Jack Graham, I noticed this against the Carlton game, he was playing from behind a bit too much, which,
yeah.
And I think you mentioned it briefly too, and it's like, that's why you get to the 13 to possession as much, I think he got as many possessions as he got tackles. And I think it's sort of, that's fine when someone else is winning the ball, but when no one else is winning the ball and you only get 9 possessions, like, you know, you've got to think maybe it's time to rethink the positioning at stoppages a bit.
I know, and particularly on a night when what really caught me by surprise was how good their second-tier midfielders were, particularly Greenwood and Cameron Yeoman, Seedsman, not so much on the inside, but, and, you know, surprise, surprise, Bryce Gibbs is really good. But yeah, their second tier stood up and ours didn't. That's a, harsh reality.
So I think this has been discussed a lot in the forum, so I don't think we need to overdo it, but Rhys Conker, despite only having mid-teens possessions in both games, is in the top five in the AFL for Clangers. He's currently on 88 games. What do you think is his chances of being eligible for father-son by the time his career's over?
Poor.
Agreed.
He's out of contract at the end of the year, and there's a few guys on the hot seat for this week, even with Caddy out.
Yeah. Actually, we'll come to that. Jack Higgins is interesting. It's a positive one. Any redeeming features in Corey Ellis's 11 possession game?
I don't think he. I didn't see in Carlton, whilst he didn't do a lot, and look, he didn't have a ton of
at 12.
I was just going to say he's, makes for a fascinating podcast, checking the stats. But I think he did spend a fair bit of time off the ground.
73%.
Oh, that's more than I thought. But yeah, still, he's got to do better than that. And his little sort of important halvings of contests, yeah, he just seemed a bit passive.
Yeah, like it's as you said, it's easy to find people to drop. One interesting thing, I think Shai probably is ready to be dropped, but he kicked his goal when he got his chance, which was nice.
Oh, no. Yeah, that was nice. And I do, there's absolutely nothing wrong with Shai's talent. It's just senior AFL football is hard. Being a consistent small forward is extremely hard. Yeah, I don't think he's a laydown Mazur to get dropped. But
I don't know who's advising him. Well, he's clearly. Like, this has been discussed many times amongst many Richmond forums. But if it's not Ralph Carr, whoever thinks it's a good idea, like, there's the way it was handled, it was leaked that he put off his contract discussions, and you got to think that's come on from Shire, it's probably come from Ralph, because it does seem like Ralph's style. Mm. Like, the fact that there's a 6 or 7 page thread on Bigfooty about Shire Bolton's contract situation, I mean, it's just like that. Whoever's giving that advice is just, it's extraordinarily poor advice that the fact the contract negotiations were on hold and then whoever knew that decided to leak it to the press. He's just, it's fine to do it with Dusty because he's a big name, he's got a strong personality, but to do that to a very young second year player who hasn't made it yet in the AFL and was only a second round draft pick, God, that's extraordinary poor management.
Yeah, and you gotta, Ralph Carr handling Dusty, like it is, it was a pretty unique situation to have, such a good player out of contract and a free agent. Like, that doesn't happen. It happens once or twice every couple of years. Shai Bolton's a young guy trying to establish a career, and that's as common as muck. And you've just got to live your life by the tenets of Kenny Rogers. Know when to hold them, know when to fold them, and play to your hand. And he's not, Shai Bolton's not four aces. Maybe he could be anything, but maybe he could be nothing. And I'm not, as you say, he's not doing him any favours.
And, maybe in the back of the head, maybe sometimes he wants to go home. But you don't mention the contract negotiation to the press.
No.
why even have it there? Because no one's going to care. Like, I mean, there's lots of players out of, the much more famous people than Shai Bolton out of contract at the end of the year at Richmond.
There's not a lot.
Well, there's a guy called Alex Rance who's not bad.
No, he's next year.
Is he?
Yeah. Yeah, we don't have anybody good out of. Sean Grigg and Bashahuli are our only two free agents.
Okay.
Otherwise, it's, you know, it's Hampson and Miles and Lloyd and Menadue and Corey Ellis and all the rest of the fringe players. So.
Anyway, there's plenty of players who are more, and other teams who are more famous than him. I was just going to say, look, it was his 200th game.
I was glad they cheered him off.
Oh, yeah, it was nice. I think in hindsight, if Trent Crunchen goes to hospital with a migraine in future games, they'll give him the week off. And I completely understand why he played, and it was a unique situation. His disposal percentage was high, but he just, in a time when our midfield got steamrolled, he wasn't able to bring the level of play that would have been.
Not that we're used to. Helped.
No. Anything else about that game?
Oh, I'm glad we don't have to play them at Adelaide Oval again.
The weird thing is we play Port Adelaide there reasonably well.
I know. Yeah, quite. Finals accepted. Yeah, I'd quite like to avoid playing a final there as well.
Well, there's a lot of season yet to go. And
there's a lot of season yet to go. So I don't know how you were feeling over the weekend, but were you surprised to see that we are still mild favourites against Hawthorn?
No, because we did completely destroy them last time we played, and they've got a couple of injuries, but they are in good form.
They are in very good form. Yeah. Anyway, we'll get to them. Do you want to talk about the VFL and who played well where?
Yeah, always a bit hard with the VFL and practice games because you get this sort of slightly selective information that comes out. But I think that one of the big...
Well, you don't get any stats.
And you don't get stats, and you don't...
That's a big thing for us.
And you don't get the coaches forced to nominate the five players they like best from the game. So the sort of... the one who's got the hype train amongst the hardcore watchers is Connor Menadue, who had a 20-plus possession game, gave lots of run out of the back line, and looked a level above.
Yeah, because that's always the challenge. I mean, clearly pace isn't a problem. He's a really long kick. It's just, does he win enough football? And yeah, this one he clearly has. I thought he was, he didn't win as much the week before. Yeah, I think he'd a really strong chance to come in. Unclear if Prestia's quite there yet, I think.
The problem with Connor is he didn't have a full preseason either, so they might not consider him. And he took a hard knock during the game, so they might not consider him up for it. But I mean, God, you could just like rest Conqueror's would be the obvious change, and he's just he could come in, give us some run from the back line. Seems to be able to get the ball at the moment. It's an obvious in. I'd be so tempted to play Prestia. You know, he's a guy who gets the footy, has sound both ways. And the person I'd also be really tempted to play when you're not getting the football and not winning contested possessions is Anthony Miles. But the problem with that is he didn't have a full preseason either.
No, there's not a lot of... Sam Lloyd does win a lot of football. And he can go forward. So it's the... You know, maybe the answer is you drop Bolton, you play Higgins instead, and you play Lloyd in the caddy role, and bring Menadue and Vlossy in for Corey Ellis and Conker. That's a pretty substantial range of changes, but it does give you a bit, gives you more ball winning, gives you sort of the same goal kicking power and hopefully less clangers.
Yeah, hopefully. But, you know, there's a lot of Richmond's common problems would be the 2017 Kane Lambert showing up rather than the 2016 Kane Lambert. The sort of
Jack Graham. Brandon Ellis a little bit off.
Yep.
Camden McIntosh.
There's a lot of guys there who, other than Dusty, you know, I mean, it's easy to pick on the extremely frustrating ones. I totally get why there's been so much fan frustration directed at Rhys Conker, but I think that this is one of the ones where it's a smorgasbord of scapegoats. If you want to pick and choose,
there is no shortage of scapegoats.
And by the way, we're still 1-1.
World hasn't ended quite yet. Unfortunately, Noah Bolter chose this week rather than last week when I was watching him to have a really good game, taking eight marks. I'm ready for the Noah Bolter hype train, even if I still think he's going to take a couple of years.
My God, he's in the handsomeness stakes. He is the next Alex Rance. Kid is absolutely amazing. Did you get anything from the Jack Higgins video on the club website?
They really like him. He's got a bubbly personality. Yeah, I don't know. How about you?
No, not really, because we knew all the stats about him already. Interestingly, they included in his highlight video him giving it away in the back decision in a marking contest. But I love what they do.
He does a bit of that. He's got the Anthony Miles, Joel Selwood dropping the knees to get a high free kick as well.
Yeah, actually, the one time
I'm not super thrilled about.
Yeah, one thing I'm completely sympathetic with is Hawthorn supporters' frustration at the Selwood knee dropping.
As part of the pumping the brakes on the Noah Bolter hype train, Alex Rance didn't play a single senior game his first year.
I remember watching him in the VFL. Headless Chook.
Yep. Tyson Stengel still doing his thing down there, still, you know, not first in the queue. And you know, nice story, both Nathan Drummond and Sean Hampson back playing.
Nick.
Yep.
This week we a bit of the social media was talking about top five Richmond players of all time and whether Trent Cotchin is on that list.
Top five Richmond players of all time is a really good list.
Yeah, and there is no way you can't get on that list at 26-27.
No.
Unless you're superhuman, maybe Ian Stewart. You basically, you know, you need to win a lot of best and fairest and a lot of premierships.
Yeah, Royce's knees were pretty cooked by his late 20s. He was an outstanding centre-half forward in a premiership team as a teenager. So, yeah, he had runs on the ball.
Yeah, but I was just thinking about top five Richmond players that we've seen.
Do you want the scientific? I probably haven't done enough research to do a really scientific one. I thought I'd just do my gut reaction.
Yep.
My one from the 1980s would be Dale Waitman, because my very first sort of memory of when football really meant something to me was of really wanting Dale Waitman to do well in State of Origin, because then other teams could see how good a player he was, and he played fantastically in those games too.
He did. The hard thing with when you go back to the 80s, because you can't really do statistical comparisons. But, or you can look at, I mean, one of the best ways to look at it is Jack Diamond medals.
Mm.
And he won two.
Yeah.
And I didn't really see him, so I can't properly compare him, but it's hard to make the case that he's, if top five, that he'd be in front of, Wayne Campbell, for instance, and, you know, you sort of, is he in front of Dusty or, Trent Cotchin, both of whom have won, best and fairest on better teams where the teammates were putting up more competition, perhaps making life easier too. But this is just the things I was thinking about. But who else struck you before I tell you mine?
If we were doing, top five players that I loved, Michael Mitchell would have to be on that list, but he'd sadly not the five best players. I mean, I'm assuming we have the same number one.
Yeah, I mean, you can't, like, just for interest's sake, I had a look, compared his, how many times he won the goal kicking to Jack. And he won the goal kicking 13 times.
I know. We would lose our minds if we had, well, we did. It was not that Richmond supporters weren't super excited about Matthew Richardson, you know, the son of a premiership player, and he's 6'5" and he runs like the wind and he sits on people's heads and he takes enormous marks and kicks tons of goals and he's a teenager. That's a pretty compelling argument.
Yeah, and look, yeah, there has to be some positional value argument here. Like, you can't, you know, best and fairest, like Brownlows, tend to be midfielders' medals. So the way I broke it down was one key forward, one key back, and three midfielders. And it's sort of, at least then you've got some, and maybe that's a bit of bias because actually if you look at the great Richmond players of our lifetimes, there's a basis for comparison. The only thing you could say is the only person who's had more, all Australians than him, over that time is Alex Rance.
Mm.
Which, I don't think you could argue Alex Rance is number one, but just because positional value, keeper forward is the hardest thing to play and the most valuable, and the most transformative. So if you've got Richo number one, Alex Rance beats out Darren Gasper because length of time, yep, at the top.
Darren Gasper, you know, all Australian.
Yep. Fullback. Not to be forgotten, but other than that, there's just
no mug.
No, but other than that, there's no other key. There's no other key back that's in with a sniff at all.
No, possibly Scott Turner would be another contender for top five most loved, but
yeah, and Jack has had two All Australians, so he's the only one of the other key forward who'd be in the conversation. But other than that, you're sort of mids, and you know you have to have the two Brownlow medalists on the list. Both of whom were premiership winners, and best and fairest. And so you've only got one position left, if you look in top five. And I think it's versus Campbell and Knight. And Campbell had more best and fairest and more All Australians.
Yeah, he did. I'm still actually struggling to, I don't know, move on from Dale Waitman, I must say.
He did
captain Victoria at a time when that meant a lot, like being the best player in Victoria, and he kicked more than 300 goals, which is no mean feat either. Knights versus Campbell is a tough one. Yeah, like I think if you would, in terms of which one the supporters loved more.
No competition.
No, I mean, ring the bell. Wayne Campbell, I don't know what his game or his personality, but he was, he struggled for love.
He did. And it, yeah, and there was lots of reason for that. We can debate another time. Anyway.
Which, who Who would you choose between those two?
Oh, just on the objective metrics, Campbell was better. But does that mean that because of 1995 Essendon final, does... You know, it's a difficult one, and obviously Knights was more fun to watch. But, you know, the people who were voting in our best and fairest weren't mugs, and he won the best and fairest in the 95 season. He was the best player, according to the coaches, in the 95 season.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough, but, yeah, I think you're right.
This is, by the way, the bloke who also didn't get the job as football manager behind Dan Richardson. So, and this was when one of the teammates on that team was the keeper making the selection. So we're not the only people who have had mixed feelings about Wayne Campbell over the time. But, you know, I think sometimes we forget how good he was.
Yeah. No, that was fun. Hawthorn.
Surprisingly, so, unfortunately good.
Unfortunately good. It's a misnomer to think of them as having had some sort of rebuilding phase. Like, they were, in round one, they were the oldest team in the competition. So, yeah, they've had a bit. It's probably they've regenerated the existing infrastructure, bringing a few guys on. But, yeah, it's... They're not really a developing team. Like Jarman Impey, they bought in. He's really quick. He makes them a bit less lead-footed. Tom Mitchell's picking up ridiculous quantities of the football. Jagger O'Meara's not looking bad. Yeah, they, you know, on all the stats, they probably should have beaten Hawthorn. By more than they did, given they had 19 more. Oh, beaten Geelong by more, given they had 19 more inside 50s. But they're not that good. Yeah. I don't know. How do you feel?
Well, it's helpful that Sicily's out. And Burgoyne, after playing more than 100 consecutive games in his mid-30s.
I know, which is incredible.
Yeah. He's had a really interesting career, Burgoyne. But yeah,
he's 5 years older than any player on our team.
Yeah, pretty amazing. And we should be rightfully pleased that he's not playing.
Yep. James Sicily, not bad either. I mean, he doesn't play on people and in that sort of intercepting third backman role, which is, as we know, isn't the most essential player on the team. But he's not a bad out either.
Yeah, so I think this is... We've got trouble with our... I mean, missing Caddy is a problem. But Caddy didn't miss games last year, and we were actually fine. That was when Townsend came into the team originally to play the Caddy role. Now, I don't think he will play the Caddy role. I think it's probably more likely we'll get perhaps Higgins and others to rotate through to try and do it, because Townsend now has a different role. But look,
goal-kicking god.
Yes, it should be manageable. We've beaten them in before. You know that their form's decent, as you say, but it's not all world. This is one of the key moments. This is the first time we've really been tested. It was okay to lose to Adelaide. It was disappointing how we did it, but this is sort of these are the games that this is. I mean, it's early in the season, but the Hawks do look like a bottom of the top eight team. This is an 8-point game already.
Well, no, I wasn't quite ready for this level of stress this early in the season. I was hoping to keep coasting for a while, but yeah, I'm stressed.
Yeah, I was irrationally confident before the Adelaide game, and you know that's it's not a lasting emotion. I was thinking, Nick, you know, in our lifetimes, Richmond has never been favourite for a premiership before a game. No. I know we discussed this a lot last year. I know,
and we got absurdly excited when we've gone into like $7 or $8, but no, that's true.
Yeah, so I guess it is our lot to never be confident, to never maintain a consistent confident arrogance before a game.
No, and it is... you know, something I think we forgot, that, you know, the end of September version of the team was fully weaponized. Like, we were playing absolutely fantastic football. And, yeah, teams don't have whole seasons like that. They have guys out of the team, they have guys out of form, and it's just, you know, one of those things. And you've got to win some ugly games, and you've got to bounce back from disappointing losses. And I hope we can do it this week.
Yeah, let's try getting the footy this week. That'd be nice.
I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
We're Richmond Tiger Talk.
We never wait until the last time. Fire and storm, like the tiger of old. Like a storm and we roll from Tigerland. Yellow and black, we're from Tigerland.
It's just a celebration of all good things Richmond right now.
Nothing that way.
Makes rants.
He's never not going to go, was he? Was he?
Something fantastic, and we just got to keep riding away.
Martin, three votes.